Blog Talk Radio.
As the legend goes, an old Cherokee was teaching his grandson about life. He said to the boy, "A fight is going on inside me. It is a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, guilt, lies, superiority, and ego. The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too." The grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed."
Episode of the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show, broadcasting live every Monday and Wednesday, 7 p.m. here on blogtalkradio.com. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of our hosting duties, holding down the other half of our hosting duties. Some call him the Lions Historian. Others call him Unc. I just call him my best friend. He's my dad, Bill Green. What's up, Daddy-o?
Man, welcome back, dude. Welcome back, man. Yeah, I don't even want to talk about what's up with me. I just want to say welcome back and ask what's up with you.
Hey. Oh, man.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I heard the sigh of relief all over the microphone here, and I thought it was the audience, but it was just you. So,
well, no damn sigh.
I mean, you know, like a happy sigh.
Yeah, well, no sigh. It was a shout. They're like, yeah, dude's back. I'm talking about.
Well, you held it down, man. You held it down once again, as always, you know.
Good job, good shows,
you know, good flow. So it's good to be back, but at the same time, it was good sitting back and listening to you as well. So it's kind of a guilty pleasure,
right,
if you will. Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, welcome back, man. Can't wait to hear about your adventure.
I appreciate it. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're just going to just give our due diligence right now. I'm going to jump out there and just remind everyone, as Dad did in the previous shows, and we'll do it again. I hear most of you rattling around like now at the beginning of the Peter Green thing. That's right. So grab that pen and pad, pencil and paper, a post-it note, a marker, the back of an envelope, or Dad's favorite, a napkin. If you got something, we want to make sure you got something to write with in case you got any questions, any comments. You know, who knows? You might pick up something from our discussions on these shows, and we just want to make sure you don't forget it, you know. We might even trigger something on you. You might want to write it down as well. So it's always good to have that pen and pad handy with you. The second thing is that we have different ways that you can engage with us on our show. As you know, our shows are live, again, every Monday and Wednesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseeffects. That's the letter FX. So you can engage with us by calling in directly. Hopefully you've got that pen and pad handy by now, or the napkin. Our number here is 516-453-6094. Again, 516-453-6094. And when you're ready to jump on in, just press one button on your keypad. Your number will light up in the queue, and we'll bring you in as soon as we can. You guys know the motto. Y'all know how we do. Why use 100 words when 1,000 words will do? We don't apologize about it. That's how our show is. And we appreciate all of you all that still hanging around with us, because, you know, it's all love. It's all love here on this show. Another way you can engage with us is just engaging directly in the chat room on Blog Talk Radio. Dad, I love the way you broke it down on Monday's show. You know, it's kind of an exclusivity. I always have a problem with that word. Kind of a thing here, because you have to be a member of the Blog Talk Radio site. In order to be a member, you have to use a credit card. It doesn't charge you. You can set up a free account. You know, we've been saying this for the last 2-3 years. Nobody's had any problems. But in order to engage with us in the chat room, and we, you know, we'll forget that yet. Nobody's had any problems. Nobody will. You know, so, but you have to have a membership with Blog Talk Radio in order to engage in the chat room. Then, of course, there's Yo Facebook, you know, where we have our event pages set up. And you can also use the discussion tab in the event page and type up any questions or comments or something like that that you may have in mind. And, you know, going back to the Blog Talk Radio membership, again, you know, it's funny about, I don't know if you have this feeling when you listen to the shows when I'm solo, but it's interesting to listen to our delivery on some things, how we say the same things, but it's different. You know, how things are the same but different kind of a feel.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like I'm always learning and always have this opportunity to do these shows with you. So, you know, even though I've done this a little longer than you, doing this part, you know, this avenue of informing and dialogue, et cetera, you know, I always feel like I'm learning from you. And I know you talk a lot about being the EP, and you're learning, and you did. I taught you well, and you were able to hold it down.
Yeah.
But I'm still learning from you. So, you know, you said something Monday, and I wanted to reiterate what you said about the whole Blog Talk Radio membership thing. You know, one thing about doing these shows, ladies and gentlemen, is that Dad and I, we always have these moments, and people like to use the word transparencies and stuff like that, you know, but, you know, sometimes, you know, if we want to use that word, that's fine, but we have this opportunity to promote dialogue and to improve, I'm going to say improve communication among us all, you know. And this is just one avenue of expression. especially to all my artists out there. And this is a good way to do so. I find it therapeutic at times, and a lot of people may listen to this show like, man, if I could do that, well, you can do this. You know, and one thing about us doing these shows is that we encourage you all to find that form of expression. And this is a way to do it. So if you're ever curious, ever wonder about doing your own show, man, don't hesitate to hit, you know, one of us up or both of us. And, you know, we'll be happy to guide you along the way.
Right on. Right on.
So, yeah, that's your due diligence from your friends.
Man, I mean, you know, that's what I'm talking about. That's how it's supposed to be done, y'all. I know you're glad to get Will back, so now you know how it's done. Instead of hearing me, I don't know how to answer you. I don't know what to do in the chat room. I don't know, but Will will be back. Right on. Now you know why I was looking forward to him. Oh, did I miss you?
Man, go ahead, man. Again, great job last week, last few shows. Good job. Thank you for holding it down. Excuse me. So, you know, interesting topic, which goes right along with been happening with us, you know, personally the last couple of weeks with, you mentioned the wedding last week and the event, the ceremony, and seeing, you know, family and friends and things like that, going into our discussion about family and its influence on behavior, rules, themes, and values handed down from past generations. This trip driving down to Dallas was another experience. It's you know, like learning stuff from you every show, and traveling and things like that. There's always these lessons and things that we pick up along the way if we're open to it. You know,
if we're open to
I had no choice but to be open to it. I had two other souls in the ride with me, you know.
So, who was in the ride with you, man?
So I had my mom with me, and I had Sue with me. You know, so it was, you know, normally, you know, my dad taught me about the road, ladies and gentlemen. So I know about trucks and, you know, knowing about how to guide the distance before you just jump over in the other lane, or how you might have to flash a truck driver to let him know, yeah, he can get in front of you. You know, these rules and rules of the road.
Rabbits. Don't forget rabbits.
Well, I didn't want to give that part about rabbits. That's our own little secret. But sometimes you may have to pick up the speed a little bit. Well, you know, we're going to put it out there. You might need to pick up the speed a little bit, but you're worried about the state troopers out there. You know, just wait for that car to go vroom, go zooming by. That's your rabbit right there, man. That's your rabbit.
Yeah,
they're going to catch that trooper before you will. So hopefully, you know, anyway.
Hopefully, most of the time.
Most of the time. Just one of those little tricks that's out there on the road. But, you know, driving down to Dallas, and I've done it a few times, I've always been the kind of driver, and Dad is too, where I can do it all in one trip. It's all good. I can get it done. I don't care how many hours in there. I'm going to see how much I can push myself and I'm get it done. Get it out the way. Let's get it out. You know, no problem.
Let's get it done.
Get out. But I couldn't do that this time. You know, I was no way I was going to subject my mother and Sue to a 15-hour ride, you know, let alone just sitting there in the ride for 15 hours and dealing with me for 15 hours.
Yeah, let's not forget that part.
And if I did, my mother will remind me. You know, you know, so that was a quite a learning experience itself, and just being patient with myself. You know, no, I don't have to hurry up and get on the road at old dark 30. You know, I can take my time and getting ready. So the beginning of the trip itself, that was quite the experience for me personally, and just having to kind of slow down a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
So that was cool. You know, the ride was good. We were blessed with great weather driving to there and back. We got hit with some rain. We got some of that late Texas, that storm you guys had. We got like some of that last of that or whatever. We got hit with some of that coming in. And we got hit with some different storms going back. I'll get into that in a minute. But the drive there was cool. We stopped in Memphis. Well, it was West Memphis, and I didn't realize it was West Memphis until
that was coming to Dallas.
That was coming,
right?
coming to Dallas, right? I thought West Memphis was still Memphis, but West Memphis,
right?
Arkansas.
Yeah,
man. And I missed that part. It's a totally different way. It's like saying East Chicago, but it's East Chicago, Indiana. It's not East Chicago in Chicago. It's East Chicago, Indiana. And so, man, that was, you know, I found myself gripping the steering wheel a little tighter, you know, you know, pulling in. And again, you know, I got my lady and my mom with me, and, you know, it wasn't quite what I thought it was going to be. And, but, you know, they were taken care of. We had a little roach in the hotel, man. I opened the door and this mug is on the floor, man. He's just sitting on the floor, man. Like, what's up, man? You know, what's this?
Gives different meaning to Roach Motel. Huh?
Oh, man, totally different meaning. I went back to the front desk, and I'm like, man, your sign says no pets. So, you know, what's going on with
Good.
Adam, you got it, man. That's right. My man looked at me and was like, this room is occupied, man.
Occupied.
I approached it, you know, in a cool manner, you know, and I didn't, I can't believe you, you know, and you got this, and my mama hit it, you know. So, I'm in West Memphis, man. So, you know, we got a couple rooms on the second floor, of course. And it was all good, you know. And we headed on down to Dallas, man, and laughed about that the whole way there. We even Popeyes. We stopped at Popeyes, and you know it's a rough night when you pull in the Popeyes and they tell you what kind of chicken they got left, and it's never the chicken you want.
That's funny.
It's never the chicken
they tell you what kind of chicken you got left.
That's right.
I never had that experience.
Oh, man. Well, blessings. Blessing. I hope you never will.
That's deep.
I hope you never
That's
will.
Deep. Yeah.
So again, that just made the ride on into Dallas even more fun, you know. And So should I just give the whole rundown? I mean, you know.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, welcome back. Absolutely.
Okay. So
yeah.
So that happened in West Memphis. We get down to Dallas, man, and you know we got an Airbnb. And, you know, you talk about the room is occupied. So we get to the Airbnb, man. I put in the code. We walk in the house, and there was a computer on the desk. And we were like, that's kind of odd. You know, and then there was
like you're walking into the room that you think is your Airbnb room, right?
To the house, into this house. Yeah,
yeah
we had a house.
Yeah. The house,
we walk
sorry.
Into this house that we thinking is our Airbnb. We see this computer out. We see this empty bottle of wine. And we're just looking around the crib, man, and we realize that the house is occupied. You know, and I called a dude and come to find out they double booked the crib because I was using a site called Vrbo. So those of you that use Airbnbs, you know, this is something that these owners use. They use different websites, and sometimes they don't have the – I don't know what the term is, but – they end up double booking or could even triple book a room because they're using multiple websites at the same time. So, another room is occupied. So we ended up getting another crib that was in South Dallas. So here we go with some West Memphis into South Dallas. And but South Dallas was cool. South Dallas was cool. No, I love Dallas, so I'm not even gonna go there with Dallas. I can talk about Memphis because I don't go there. I don't care.
You can talk about Dallas too. I do. You know, Dallas become a little Detroit.
But I mean, you know, they hooked us up with a house. It was nice, and you know, everything was cool. They even had a back house, a house in the back there, a little guest house. and that was occupied with this guy from Australia, this guy Sam.
Like a coach house,
yeah. So that was cool meeting Sam, and the owner of the house came and greeted us. He introduced us to Sam, and it was cool kicking it with a guy from Australia. You know, it was. I was so tempted. I'll be honest with you, man. I'm glad you wasn't there, because I know you was going to be like a shrimp on the bobby or something like that. I was like, oh, man. Yeah, you know, you're going to say something. I'm like, ah, shoot. Please excuse my father. You know? So, you know, that was cool. And then the next day, the original owner, the original house owner, the one that had the house occupied, he put us in another crib that was bigger. So that was cool. And it was a little closer to you and to the event, kind of in the middle, you know. So everything worked out, you know, and everything was handled. Everything was handled calmly and with patience. And I'm going to skip over the wedding because I just want to talk about the travel and being on the road. And we had another situation back in Memphis. We went back to Memphis after we left Dallas, and this time, we were in downtown Memphis, so no West Memphis. We were in Tennessee.
He was in Tennessee. Memphis, I hear you.
Yes. We were across that Mississippi this time. Get yourself across the Mississippi. Don't stay on the other side. So we got a hotel room this time, no Airbnb or anything like that, but a better hotel, much better hotel.
I heard that.
And so the next morning, come to find out that Mom, her room had this noise coming from the back of her wall or whatever, and it was like a generator or something. Yeah. And we ended up, you know, we wanted to stay another day and wanted to push it because Sue and Mom wanted to, and me too, wanted to hang out a little bit more in Memphis and see Beale Street and listen to some blues and stuff like that.
Right. Beale Street.
So I went down, talked with the front desk, let them know what we were planning. You know, we were trying to change the rooms, but we wanted to change Mom's room. Come to find out, Mom had called the front desk as well and talked to the manager for the morning. In the end, the manager, you talk about how we deal with conflict, and we had so many opportunities to just go crazy and snap off and just be so combative, you know. But all of these moments, you know, we were really cool and calm about the situation. And the manager was so touched by Mom's calm demeanor, you know, that she dealt with this noise all morning. And it was so annoying. Now, mind you, this manager, when she came in her, when she started her day, nothing was done, you know. Other people were already complaining about this and about that, and she was already having a rough morning. And this is like 7:30, 8 o'clock. Man. But when Mom called, on top of all this stuff that she was dealing with, it was something about Mom's demeanor that brought her down and kind of centered her. And she was so thankful for the way that Mom handled this problem. Man, she gave us free breakfast buffet tickets for the next morning, had a couple of free drink tickets, and they comped the room. You know, so we ended up having a free night, free drink, free breakfast buffet. Right. Yeah,
that's your mama. That's your mama. Why you think I married her? Why you think she left me? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
There's only so many times you can be calm, you know.
You can only come to Nottingham so many times. Robin Hood. Go on, man. Go on. Go ahead, on, man.
That really did it, man. You know, that was like the cream of the top, you know, the creme, whatever you want to call it. That kind of solidified such a nice trip. And so we drove in, and I wanted to call in while you were on the show. I wanted to say this because I heard you like, man, why didn't you? I heard you about to say, why don't you call in? But we were driving in, real bad storms, you know, right not Springfield, but like right before Springfield. But you know how you got all that open land, and those storms were coming hard.
Right. Yeah.
They were
yeah.
coming hard because you had all this open farmland, and we saw it, you know.
Right.
And Sue was driving at the time. I was exhausted, and I needed her to bring us in. But we saw the clouds coming. You know, I'm on my Weather Channel app. We're watching the clouds. You know, I'm going back to my meteorologist training days with KLM in Atlanta,
right.
and all
right.
that stuff,
yeah.
you know.
And we
got through it, but it was rough, man. And like that rain came down hard, the lightning was everywhere. Well, not everywhere, but it was lightning, you know. And I wanted to make sure that I sat with her, you know, and helped her along the way because it was really hard. Visibility was up and down, and they ended up getting like man, like 5 inches, 5 inches of rain.
That's a lot.
Yeah. But we made it in.
That's a lot.
And,
yeah.
And just when we made it in the crib was right when I sent you that message at the end of the show. It was cool listening to you and Butch kick it again. That was awesome.
Yeah, my man Butch.
You know, so thank you everybody for all your prayers and thoughts, you know, and everything to help me, you know, guide me and my family home. We stay safe, you know, dealing with the inexperienced truck drivers and inexperienced other drivers out there, dealing with the weather, dealing with rooms that are occupied and all those other things in between, you know.
I got to remember that one, man.
My man was chilling. All he needed was a cigarette and a beer, man. I'm like, holy
That's
God.
All, man. That's some shades.
That's some shades, man.
That's funny.
Like,
man.
This is ridiculous, yeah. man. But quite a trip, man. I mean, it's just, you know, a lot of little things, you know, and I heard you talk about the wedding and the ceremony. I got so caught up, you know, because I was in the event itself. So I really, there was a lot of things I missed, you know, but listening to you, I'm sure that there was some disconnect, you know, because they wanted to kind of not have such a traditional wedding. You know, it was,
They succeeded. It wasn't no jumping the broom deal going on there, man. anyway, go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
But that gives to, you know, like that gives to even some of the things that you had talked about, the, you know, the generation gaps. I think that was in your discussions of the family. I think that was the extended family when dealing with the lack of the respect. You have these inner conflicts with the elderly and stuff like that.
Well,
but
yeah,
it's just like,
that was one of the weaknesses. Yeah, but that's
you
know, that's not a given. That's not the constant in the extended family, you know, but it's one of those possible weaknesses. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
And not saying that the event was disrespectful or anything, ladies and gentlemen. It's
right.
just that there's these gaps, again, that we talk about with generations, whereas in these moments where we want to be different and we want to, you know, give a different experience, to give a different feel, give a different thing to our brand, whatever it is. There's still times when we have to remember that there are others that will be affected by these things that you want to do. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's good to remember that even though you may want to be non-traditional, that there are people who support you that would appreciate a more traditional manner of a few things. But that's just remembering or just being, just acknowledging. I'm trying to figure out a way to put this, just acknowledging the everyone, if you will. I don't know. I don't know. That didn't come out the way that I wanted to. So I'm just.
No, I hear you. I hear
leave it alone.
Yeah. And I hear what you're saying, and it's a hard thing to do to accommodate everybody. You know, you know, especially if the expectation for like the invitees is in one area, and those who are giving the affair are trying to accommodate everybody, but from a limited perspective. You know, you can't. It's hard to be two different generations at one time, right? So,
right.
like, me me being an elder, I can't un-elder myself, you know, to be accommodating toward those who are trying to accommodate me, you know. And at the same token, you know, those who are of a generation different than mine, you know, like years younger, their perspective or y'all's perspective is based on your experiences, not based on mine. You know, so you're living your life, living your experiences, and you're going to have more interaction with your generation than my generation. You pretty much live my generation growing up, right? So I hear you. That's a hard thing to do. But when you get to be my age, you don't care. You know, it just gives me another chance to be grumpy. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Well, thanks for cleaning it up. I wasn't sure how that was going to come across. But it was
perfect, man. Great.
But, you know, the trip was great. I can't believe it's been a week already.
A week, man. Over a week.
Over a week.
Man. It's like the wedding was, well, the ceremony was yesterday, you know.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, tomorrow. Yesterday.
Yeah.
Wow, man. Oh, man, you're right. It's amazing how that happens, man, how, you know, the timeline continuum just ceases to exist when there's a singular targeted event that everyone focuses on. You know, everything else doesn't really matter. You know, even though other things happen, they're all related to that singular event. Man, it's amazing how timeline just disappears with that experience. And everybody, you know, has that same experience, you know, that like mind kind of deal.
So, I mean, I did you have any other questions, anything that you wanted to ask me about the trip? I wasn't sure how much
I think you said everything. Yeah, about the trip. But Monday, I kind of gave a little brief synopsis of my experience in the wedding, talking about, you know, the people there, blah, 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 blah. But that was my perspective. I would love to hear yours. I know you didn't have a chance to prepare anything. I wrote my script out. I had time to tweak it, to edit it, to take some things out. I said, I ain't saying that. But just kind of catching you cold like this. But still, if you, you know, want to wade into the water, you know, what was it like? I mean, you were involved in everything. You know, from your perspective, what was it like, man?
Give me as much as
you're comfortable with talking about, or save it for another time.
No, I
still like to know.
I can say, give me a second. I'm just plugging in the computer here. I realized it was unplugged. I didn't want us to be talking, and then suddenly I'm out of there.
Okay.
It was, going back to what I mentioned earlier about the beginning of the trip and having to slow down, and how I didn't have to hurry up and do this and get there to do that. I think preparing the day of the wedding and even before the wedding, I think the whole trip itself, I had to really learn how to slow myself down. Because, you know, we're talking about family. And you know how, you know, sometimes, I can get caught up, if you will, in wanting to.
As we are, too.
And wanting to connect with family. Well, not everybody. Mm-hmm. Not everybody wants to connect with family.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean. Yeah, I'm talking about the like minds, as we all do.
You know, and it's like, man, you know, when I get in, I'm going to see you, and we're going to do this. And, you know, I get so caught up with wanting to spend, you know, this time with family because it's family, you know, and I miss them.
Yeah.
I love them. I want to hang out with them, and I want to know what's happening. I want to tell them what's happening. Even if we don't say anything, you know, just being there, you know. But, you know, I've been in so many weddings now, you know, I know that there's not really a lot of time to do such things with family, especially the ones that are in the wedding, you know. And with Ray, you know, I get, you know, every time I come in, you know, I used to kind of set myself up sometimes, you know, because this man is busy, you know, and he's doing so many things, and I get into these moments of being disappointed because I can't hang with my cuz, you know. But you know, I understood that he had a lot of obligations, you know. and then, you know, other people were coming into town. I haven't seen Coda. I did that on purpose. I haven't seen his brother, you know, Coda in a long time. So, you know, just all these things. But again, you know, my priorities was to be in the wedding, to be there on time. But other than that, you know, mom and Sue, and making sure that we were good because, you know, we had these housing situations, you know. But then I would try to, okay, let me take on this problem of the housing situation, and let me figure out how much time I got to go do this, and let me figure out how I can go see this person and do this. So, no, it wasn't any of that. So even with the wedding itself and getting ready, you know, the wedding coordinator was a trip, but that's because she had a job to do, you know, and it was a lot for that wedding coordinator to do. And it was interesting just sitting back, man. I just sat back, really. I just sat back. I didn't feel like I had to take on the weight of the day. You know, I didn't feel like I had to, come in and put on my cape and be rescue man, or put on my one piece and be rescue man.
Wow.
You know, yeah. You know,
growth.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't feel like I had to save the world. And I sat back and you know, and just watch people do what they do. And it was just interesting having that time just to sit back. I wish there was more I could say about it. But, you know, ladies and gentlemen, if you find yourself always having to step in or want to save the moment or want to do this or want to do that, just it's interesting when you sit back and just not do anything, how different things look and especially how things sound. Because I'm just sitting there. You know, there was one time we were getting ready, man. A room full of Negroes in the room, man. It got hot in there real quick, too, right?
Yeah. Male Negroes, yeah.
Male Negroes, you know. You gotta get dressed, man. Yeah, it get hot, man. Real quick. You know, we in Dallas, man. It's 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Shit, man. It was hot. You know, but I found my little corner, man. And like I said, I've been in so many weddings. I know how to put on these tuxedos. It's just boom, boom, boom. And it's funny just sitting here listening to these brothers. Man, hey, can you help me with my tie? Where does this go? What does this button do? How does this put on here? Where the belt loops at, man? Where the belt loops?
Where the belt loops? That's the funny. Where the belt loops?
and you know, and again, it was that little twitch in my shoulder a couple of times. You know, let me come help you. And I wasn't, you know, and I'm not, it wasn't like I was just being, you know, antisocial. You know, I'm not going to let my brothers walk out the door looking sloppy, you know, but at the same time, at that time, I wasn't going to utilize my energy for something I felt that they could figure out themselves. These are all grown men here, right? So let me just let them go ahead and do what they got to do and let them figure it out. But like I said, as we were all walking out the room, of course, I was the last one to leave the room. There's some things that, you know, I still want to do in the way that I do it. You know, I'm observing the rooms, observing these brothers, and I'm not going to let them walk out the room, you know, with the shirt half tucked in and half out, you know.
You know, toilet paper like stuck that. On the bottom of the shoe.
Toilet paper stuck on the bottom of the shoe, you know what I mean? You know, so, you know, there was that. So, you know, it was just this slow kind of lesson of slowing down. It was almost it was almost like swimming while I was engaged in this event, you know, and just wading in the water and swimming to the downstairs and going to this long procession to the altar, if you will, with these with these mirrored walkways that felt like rays, like heat rays hitting my face because the sun was reflecting off these mirrors.
Yeah. Reflecting like off bad, everything, right?
You know, I felt like a bad James Bond episode. No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
Die.
These mirrors, you know, these lasers are going to come out and cut me
my
up.
My favorite line, yeah.
you know, so I wish that, you know, the only thing about the weddings I wish that I had a chance to meet more people that I didn't know, you know, more people I didn't know, you know, like in the prayer group, you said Mama D was there, right?
Mama Denise, that's right.
Yeah, you know, like people I've never met before. Like, it was good seeing.
Yeah, it was my first time meeting her, right? Yeah, man. Yeah.
You know, just some of those things. And I think that's where, I think, you know, coming back kind of circle, I think that's where when we talk about tradition and non-tradition, mm-hmm. where if we want to, you know, I can appreciate and understand, you know, my generation or even Jackson's generation,
right,
to have these non-traditional moments in their lives. But, you know, the traditional is the reason why you have these non-traditional opportunities, you know, and still being able to close in these gaps of generations, having these opportunities mm-hmm. where the new generation can meet the old generation. I thought it was a good idea to mix the groupings of the seats. I know you weren't too crazy about it. I didn't like where you, you know, your seating wasn't the best seating, but the idea of intentionally mixing the tables up, I, me personally, I thought was cool. But, you know, there's still, again, these moments where you have to, you know, again, respect your tradition, respect the elderly, respect these moments and these opportunities to narrow these gaps. And to bring our bridges closer together. And I felt like, for me personally, it was missed. Just everything, you know, was kind of happening fast sometimes. So I really didn't have a chance to really get into the event itself. Now, of course, when Dougie Fresh came out, that was a whole different situation, you know, because it took me all the way back, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and that was cool. And we out there listening to Dougie Fresh, and then he was asking about people that went to historically black colleges, universities, HBCUs, and Ray's up there like, well, you know, man, I'm kicking it with Sue, man. I just thought it was somebody on the floor or something. And it was Ray. Like, well, I'm like, you know, I'm looking over and then everybody's looking at me. So what I'm going to say? I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm not going to come up there. I'm all right. You know, no, I had to run up this. I'm like, oh, shit. I'm in the spotlight, an honorable moment, if you will, and it was really cool to be standing up there with the new couple, with the happy kind of, you know, I don't know how you put it because they were already married, but we'll say with the new couple again. The newlyweds and Dougie and kicking it with the crowd and stuff like that. So that was definitely something new for me, and it was quite an experience. But that's all I could think of to share as far as the wedding itself. I mean, that's it. I had fun. It was good. And for the times the opportunities that I had. That I had to spend with family, I'm glad that I had those moments, whether they were brief or whether they were longer or not enough or whatever. The fact that they were there, I was appreciative. You know, we got in, we got out, and we were gone. You know, you know, Valencia was looking for me, like, where you at? We're gone. You know, we came in, did what we had to do, and, you know, we're heading back. We, you know, we got our own agenda. We got a chance to kick with you and Aunt Brenda over some ice cream, which was great. I got a chance to see one of my best friends, my man Zeke. Got a chance to kick with him and his family, and you had a chance to kick it with us, you and Mom. You know, that doesn't happen too often, where two of my best friends and their family and my family. I mean, the last time something like that happened was when Tiana and I got married. So we're talking, you know, 16, 17 years ago, 18 years ago.
Yeah, sure.
So there were a lot of things that personally I was very happy about. So I enjoyed every part of the trip. I wish we could have stayed longer, of course. And, you know, one thing I hate besides leaving, is unpacking. Unpacking really sucks, you know. not because of dirty clothes.
That's another comment for another time.
Not because of dirty clothes.
We'll do an unpacking show. Yeah.
Not because of dirty clothes. It's just the emotions and the energies that bring everything back again, you know, as you're trying to acclimate back into the regular flow of things. So, but yeah, I had a great time.
Okay. That's an interesting perspective. You know, the packing and the unpacking and how much memory is attached to both.
Yeah.
And expectations, memories, right on.
Mm-hmm.
Right on,
mm-hmm.
man. All right, well, that's that. I guess we can wrap it up. outstanding, man. Well, you know, it's a good week. You know, it's a good week to have a travel experience like that, you know, especially
yeah,
with your mom and with your lady, you
yes,
know, coming to, you know, the gathering of many different, I use the word tribes, many different families,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you know, I'm not going to even engage the seating arrangement thing because it's none of my business. It wasn't me getting married. But, you know, the collection of familiar faces and having a chance to, it was a lot of people having a chance to catch up. It was a lot of people, you know, much too many to try to establish new relationships, you know, it, just because it was so many familiar faces that we hadn't talked to in a while was all we could do to connect with those we knew, you know, family-wise, you know, so. You know, and then the challenge of which y'all didn't really have a challenge with the noise. You know, I was amazed at that. You know, on the other hand, I had Kleenex stuffed in my ears and still trying to hold conversations with folks. So, yeah, right on, man. Good account, very good. You know, anything else you want to kick in there before we, you know, move to the next?
No,
but
to your defense, it, you know, I definitely understand why you felt that it was loud and it was hard to have a conversation. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't just you feeling out of place. It was loud. I guess, you know, I felt like I was in the club. So
I didn't feel like I was
like,
out of place. I never felt like I was out of place, man. You know, I felt old. You know, I felt old. There's a big difference between that and, I mean, I know how to enjoy myself with people. You know, mm-hmm. I know how to mingle. I know how to have conversations. I know. So there was more than enough dialogue to go around. So I didn't feel out of place at all. It was the challenge for me that I didn't see a lot of the younger folks having to deal with was, first of all, you know, the volume was loud to me, but that was because I was trying to have conversations. Y'all were partying, you know, y'all were hollering and screaming, yo, hey, booty, 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 whatever y'all were doing out there. So you're having your own kind of mix the way you do it, you know? So I would have felt out of place if I'd been trying to hang with y'all, you know? No, I was just feeling old because I couldn't compensate for the noise distraction. So I couldn't really talk with folks the way I wanted to. But then again, you know, I can't impose the idea of wanting to talk, meaning the other person would too. There was a lot of festivities going on. There was a lot of things to watch. There was a lot of acts, you know, a lot of, you know, there was a lot of things that would happen at the spur of the moment. It was no warning. Like the DJ might say, hey, somebody go get somebody, get out on the dance floor. It was like a command, not an invitation, you know. So, you know, okay, time to get up dancing. Well, I still was putting food in my mouth, you know. So, you know, I didn't feel out of place at all. I felt like somebody who was experiencing something that I had never experienced before, and I think it's safe for me to say that, you know. So no, it was all well and good. I'm just glad that you gave voice to your experience there, and the quite a contrast to, you know, what I was talking about on Monday. But I see we just got a few minutes left. I really don't want to go into deep into overtime. I, you know, kind of like the idea of kind of closing it off as close to 8 o'clock as possible. You okay with that?
Yeah, that's cool. Did you?
You got Adam in the queue. I don't know if you want to bring them in right quick.
I was
know?
Just about to say, do you want to just bring Adam in the queue
and
we can ride from there and see how we go?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's up? What's good, Primo?
What's up, you guys? How you guys doing?
Oh, doing great, man. Bless as always, brother.
I'm glad you made it home safe.
Appreciate it.
I have two quick things, if I can. Number one, how cool was it meeting or being there with Dougie Fresh?
I know that's right.
And it was a, you know, so like I said, I was on the floor. I was just talking with Sue. And then, like I said, Dougie was like with my HBCU people at, you know, and then Ray's just blurting out my name, man. And, you know, this is the man of the hour, him and his wife, the couple of the hour, right? So it's not like I'm going to refuse to go on stage. And then freaking Dougie Fresh is looking dead at me like, what's up? What's funny, man, I'm running around trying to figure out what side the steps are to get on the stage. And, of course, I go to the wrong side. There's no way to get on the stage. And I go around the dance floor, and everybody's looking at me like, what the hell is he doing? So I'm running around the other side of the stage trying to find the downstairs. You know, so whatever little fear or whatever I had was gone, because now I'm completely embarrassed because I'm running around trying to find myself, you know, find the steps. So then I jump on the stage, man, you know, and of course, you know, I'm hugging Ray and Jan and everything. And Dougie's kicking it, man, and we're doing the surf something. And just being there in that moment, man, it was, you know, it's just one of those moments where it's just, you know, your inner self is just nodding, you know, like, yeah, good job, yeah. You know, it wasn't any, you know, any starstruck moments or anything like that, like the end of the Karate Kid. When he was, Mr. Miyagi, we did it. And Mr. Miyagi just looking at him like, yeah, good job, kid. That was it. That was it, man. That's what it felt like.
That's awesome. Because I saw that. I was like, yeah, that's Dougie Fresh. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I was jealous.
My tribe hit me up like, you know what? How are you kicking it with Dougie Fresh? And I'm like, yeah. So, yeah, that was seriously cool, man. Definitely a moment I will remember.
And then one other thing, and it's from earlier in the show, when you were talking about flashing the truck driver to let them know that you could, that they could move over.
Yeah.
How hurt and upset do you get when they don't flash you back saying thank you?
Oh, no. Or does that
bother you?
No, it doesn't. That's like holding a door open for a woman and getting upset that she didn't say thank you. You know, I mean, it's like you would.
Bothers the hell out of me, Adam.
I mean,
okay, it bothers the hell out of me too. So I just want to see if I'm feeling some kind of way or if that's legit. I'm like, yo, you can move over, and they don't say thank you. I get mad as hell.
Oh well. No, it don't bother me, man. As long as they get in that lane and if they get back over, I'm cool with that. Yeah, but if they stay in the lane and they don't move out the way, then I'm annoyed.
No, we're talking about something else, man. We're talking about that courtesy thing. We ain't talking about nothing else, you know. And it's like, you know, truck drivers of old taught us how to do that. Yeah. You know, today's truck drivers don't even acknowledge it, you know, and it pisses me off. You know, that's the difference. That's the shift. That's the change. And truck driving used to be a skill, used to be an art, you know, used to be a career. You know, now it's make a dollar. You know,
drive your miles, you can,
drug yourself up, yeah, you know, and be a menace on the road, you know. So, no, I feel you there, Adam. So, anyway, I'm sorry. Okay. Let me get out the way again. Yeah.
Well, no. It's just like when you were a kid and you would pump your fist because you wanted the truck driver to beep their horn and they didn't, you'd feel some kind of way. And the one that did, you were like, yes.
True. And don't get me wrong.
And I feel the same way about flashing them.
You know, and when they do flash the rear light, you know, I'm very, very happy. But one time I was driving and Sue was with me. I was like, hey, he's flashing. And she looked at me like, calm down, you know. But I was really happy, you know. So, yeah, I dig it. I hear you. I guess it's unfortunate it's kind of unfortunate now that you ask, because, you know, again, I know the people are like, well, it's just the truck driver. But again, like you said, that courtesy thing and how we've kind of numbed ourselves to common
and that
courtesy.
Acknowledgement. There's a lot to it. You know, there's a lot to it. Truck drivers used to represent, you know, a real key aspect of road travel. You know, I mean, like before cell phones and all the isolative devices that exist today, people depended on things like telephones, you know, at rest stops and gas stations. And truck drivers with CBs who would call ahead and let, you know, police or whatever know there was a problem on the road. I mean, it was a comfort knowing they were out there. Now you better get the hell out the way. So anyway, I just saying, I feel you, Adam. You know, man, okay. Maybe, again, that's one of the issues of, you know, being older, you know, just seeing the change. You know, you don't always see the change when you live the change. You know, but to see subtle changes, see certain things don't go from bad to better, but from better to worse. It, you know, it's a drag. But anyway, I don't want to turn that into anything. And, you know, we don't need to make it a whole thing. But I appreciate you raising the point, man. I saw you in the chat room, you know, mentioning it, and the fact that you learned it from your pops. Yeah, right on.
Yeah, no, that was cool. But one last thing, if I can. It's not funny.
Okay, I won't laugh.
It's odd with family when you don't see family for a long time, and you almost get nervous seeing them, and then once you see them, everything just you end up connecting like you just saw each other yesterday. And the point is, like, Bill, you haven't been out here in what? 10, 12 years?
I don't think it's been that long. It hasn't been that long. It's been a minute, but it hasn't been 10 years.
It's been a minute. And just like when Matt got married and I saw Bill for the first time in a long time, and I'd listened to a show and everything else, but we just connected like we had just saw each other yesterday. And I just think that's – to a point that's really, really cool, just being able to just to have that connection with family when you don't see them for years, and being able to pick up like you were just with them yesterday.
Yeah, that, and that's what I was saying earlier about me getting caught up in that and wanting that and just to kick it with family, you know, whether you're nervous or excited, you know, whatever the emotion is. But for me, it's like, I don't mind dealing with whatever that energy is or whatever I'm feeling. I'm just excited to see my cuz or, you know, my brothers or my dad or, you know, whoever. Well, I was just saying, yeah, I get caught up in it, and sometimes it's like, oh, I got to do everything I can to see them, but I still have to slow down a little bit because we'll still have that opportunity to kick it and like, you know, like time hasn't passed and all these things that you're saying. But no, it's not funny. I don't know why you think that we would laugh or anything.
Well, no, not funny in the sense of laugh, but just it's just, you know, maybe weird that you feel intimidated because you haven't seen family in a while, but then once you see them, it's, you know, you just, I don't know, you just pick up like there's, you never missed a beat.
Well, it sometimes, but that's not all. I mean, it depends, you know, like family's a big dynamic. So there's some, like, I see your mom and your dad, that's one thing. Seeing you is another thing, but then seeing like, your brother's family, who I don't see that often whenever I visit Connecticut, that's more than just reliving old times. That's like getting caught, like seeing his children grow up, you know, and having not seen them for a decade. That's, you know, like reintroducing myself, you know, that they don't remember me. They don't know me from Dick's Hat Band. So introducing myself creates another conversation. And I think that's the point that's kind of getting maybe a little bit, you know, swayed to the side. we start dealing with the personal experience. The broader scope of it is how that personal experience relates to everybody who you come in contact with. You know, sometimes, yeah, you know, there is the excitement of seeing a family member you haven't seen for a while, but sometimes it's the apprehension too. Like, you know, we didn't part on best circumstances, so we haven't talked in a long time, you know, and not knowing, you know, where the conversation is going to go. Family is, I mean, I know we like to present the idea of family being all love and light, but hopefully, well, we didn't really get too much into it tonight, but just from what we talked about Monday, the variations of family stirs up many different dynamics. I mean, even a topic of respect, there's no accommodating that one word because people respect different things as much as people respect different people. Like sometimes in certain family dynamics where there's more than, you know, just one unit, one single family unit, you know, like an elderly person who moves into somebody else's home is not the same as other people moving into the elderly person's home. You know, there's a different dynamic that then takes place. And all too often, especially in this day and age, now you all might disagree. My experience has been respect isn't so much directed toward an individual, especially by age. It's more or less directed toward assets, you know, who has the most, who offers the most, who provides the most, you know, gets that respect. And that's not to say that's wrong. You know, so it all depends on how people are raised, you know. And if I talked to a young man not too long ago, I'm not going to get into, you know, anything other than that. And our conversation last year, and our conversation had to do with what was his understanding of respecting the elderly. And the only thing he could say was that, well, I see how someone may respect or treat someone with a high regard older than them, but I myself don't know what that means. I don't know what it means when you say respect the elderly. What are you talking about? You know, so we had a conversation about respect, and he gave his ideas about it. I gave mine. But there were like 40, maybe 50 years of difference in our age. So it's all about how you're raised. And again, that was the point about talking about the different types of families. Different types of families raise people in different types of ways. There's no one way that anybody gets raised. And just like Will was talking about trying to accommodate over 200 people at a wedding, there's no way that can be done. There are so many eyes. There are so many values. There are so many attitudes. There are so many judgments. You know, there are so many behaviors that are, you know, all being experienced at the same time. Any one thing can trigger another thing, you know. So, yeah, it's a heck of a thing to have families spread out, not as a reunion now, but as a ceremony, all come together with the focus not on the reunion, but on a ceremony, you know, and then have all the side interactions that are going on. That's a whole lot, you know, to try to accommodate. Yeah. I thought, you know, I mean, everybody came out unscathed. You know, there was no no fights, you know, so that means it was a success, right? I don't even think there were too many hurt feelings, if any at all, you know. And I hope what I'm saying doesn't sound like hurt feelings. It just sounds like a grumpy old man. That ain't hurt feelings, you know. That's the privilege of being older. Just like a child has the privilege of acting up, you know, that ain't got nothing to do with a complaint. That just has to do with a behavior. So anyway, sorry.
I agree. What do they say? If everybody walks away a little bit mad, then everybody wins.
Okay. You say
well,
so. I like the other one better. If you can keep your head while everybody around you is losing theirs, and you do not have a grasp of the situation.
Oh, okay.
Well, I feel you, man. All right.
No,
okay.
I like that one better.
Okay. All righty, Will.
Love you
guys. Welcome back, man. Yeah.
All right.
Adam,
love you
thanks
too,
so
Adam.
Much, man. Yeah, as always. Thanks so much, man.
So next week we'll jump back into family. You know, you hit on the first three. There's a 6-7 that you gave Monday.
Well, you know, if between now and next week, if time permits, if not, we'll pick it up at another time. You know, it's not like our sponsors are going to fire us. And it's not like the millions. It is. Are going to complain. You know, man, I enjoyed hearing you talking about, you know, the week spent on the road, man.
Yeah, I said, I enjoyed it. You know, man.
That's
getting
family,
that road,
man. That's a family experience, man.
It was quite a family experience. And this wasn't the first time Mom and I have been on the road. Most recently went down to see Jackson, you know, spent four or five hours
right.
getting there. You know, so even just that experience of kicking it with my mom, you know, actually this was our second trip to Dallas, but this one was different because we broke it up. And this one hit different.
That's the idea, right? Yeah.
The millions, I see you, Adam. Thank you. But, I mean, if you know, and we can talk more about it through the weekend and see where we're at Monday. But, you know, you hit a couple of things with me listening to you Monday. Oh, and ladies and gentlemen, yes, our shows are saved and archived here on Blog Talk Radio. Also on all your other favorite listening platforms, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts. So if you didn't get a chance to hear Monday's show, last week's show, you were traveling to somewhere last week or last month, all our shows are saved. All our shows are archived for you to go back and listen. So please go back and check out any shows you missed. But, man, I mean, when you were talking about your mom, my grandma, and there were things I didn't know, you know, like the whole dynamic of her. I never thought about her being you know, you all being within the nuclear family, quote unquote, and then her having to transition to single parent family. I don't recall us of ever talking about that, and I've never even thought to ask you about that. I know we've talked we've talked about your relationship with your father, you know, and a couple of experiences you had, and I think we even went a little further to talk about the differences between your experience versus Uncle Mick and Uncle Jess, but because they were older, there was a little bit more there. But there was a lot of things that you mentioned that I really, me personally, that I never even thought about before. But I guess that's really just involving us, you know, our own inner circle.
But one of the things that, you know, maybe we'll get a chance to pick up on next week is how families can shift and change, how they can be one thing, you know, starting out like the nuclear family and then become a single parent family or then become an extended family or then become, you know, a step family or then become a grandparent family. These things can happen within one family.
Yeah.
It's not like they're all fixed and you either go into this category, that category or that category. I mean, but the thing is, see, Ancestry.com can't tell you about all these dynamics. If folks aren't writing about it, if folks aren't talking about it, if folks aren't recording it, it gets lost in how the different dynamics happen. One thing that we didn't, you know, even touch on tonight with Adam, talking about coming to Connecticut is one thing and visiting his family, but the other thing is, what is it like when families come to you like that and then you visit and they hadn't seen you since you were like a little snot-nosed kid, you know, and now you got a family, you know, like, or you will, you know, when you move from little Billy, you know, to Will, where people still thinking of you as little Billy, you know, and, or like with me, some still call me Billy, you know, or, you know, some call me Uncle Billy, you know, and it's like, but, you know, like, okay, but your idea of who I am and my idea of who I am all kind of rest in the name that you call me. So if you're not calling me by my name, then I'm having to get a feel for what that name is to you. Right? Right.
Yeah.
I think you both can relate to that, you know. And so, you know, it's the dynamic of, yeah, it's great when you have a fixed family system that you can see generationally how people, you know, evolve. But most families are kind of fragmented. At least that's been my experience of the families that I interact with or encounter. Most are fragmented. We don't have that kind of ancestral lineage of everyone being intact. It's like tribes get broken up in a lot of that, and we didn't talk about it. Here I am flapping my jib, which hopefully we will in the future, how slavery just completely disrupted the traditional African family and how we're still having to pay the price for that. But that's another story for another episode. All right, let me get out the way, man.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, this is the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show, where we try to provide an opportunity to exercise critical thinking, experience a renewed self-awareness,
right,
and maybe even a deeper connection to others and their experience, especially when we share interpretations or feelings. Again, we're live every Monday and Wednesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. The phone lines are always open for you, so please feel free to listen, dial in. We know you can be doing other things, and we appreciate the time that you share, that we are all able to share with each other and you listening to the show. Thank you for your support. I'm Will. That's Bill over there.
Amen.
What are we closing out with? Amen, or are we going back to family again?
Oh, no, man. Amen, man. You back now. Amen.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as always, Dad and I wish that you all be safe. Be blessed, and most importantly, be yourself, because everybody else is taken. Until Monday. Good night. Amen.
Hey,
amen.
Happy holiday too, right? Isn't Labor Day Monday?
Labor Day is coming up. Yes, sir. So are we going to, I guess we'll talk about having the show, huh?
Oh, yeah, we're going to have the show.
Okay.
It ain't nothing
long
but Labor
weekend,
Day,
what
man.
What are you saying? Long weekend.
Yeah, I said for those of you who work it on that long weekend. See, I have my long weekend starts on Monday.
Amen, for real.
All right, amen. Yeah. Okay, Will. Love you, man.
All right. Love you.
Welcome
too, man.
Back, man. Right on.
Good to be back. Good to be back. All right. Good night. Amen. Amen. Good night.
I can't remember why I'm feeling this way. I guess I should be crying, but my heart just won't obey. If you stay, you'll be happy as I lie here on the rooftop.